Hello, humans, and welcome back to another episode of Sparks the Conversation. Hope you're having a good day, a good life, wherever you are in this world. It's definitely winter, but nonetheless, where has the podcast been? Firstly, I'd like to apologise for my lack of consistency. No excuses are going to be given, other than that I have been busy. I have been doing my most recent winter Project Sparks photo shoot, which, if you're wondering, went very fucking well. If you were ever thinking about doing a photo shoot, photo shoots are not just for people who want to have a photo shoot. Pretty much everyone in that in the last one, at no point when they signed up, wanted to do a photo shoot. It was a process. It was it was a focus. It was a focal point. It was an end goal, and it was something that we thought about and discussed to transition them into a place where they are out of their comfort zone. None of them are fitness models. None of them are people that are like love being on camera. But they did it. They all did it. So if there's ever something you want to do, I will be running my next one in June next year. So 2024. It's going to be bigger. It's going to be better than ever. It's not going to be anything like that I've done before. Possibilities of it being abroad. But yes, listen and keep a watchful eye on this place. But nonetheless, let's get stuck into the topic of today's podcast, okay? Because I know you like them when they're short and sharp. So something that comes up a lot when people sign up for coaching is that if you're above the age of 20, 20 above, like, chances are, like, work takes up the most of your life. Let's be honest with that. Like, you've got to have an income, you've got to bring some money in to pay for life, to pay for your food, just to generally be a human. You have to kind of get some form of income. So what are my main tips for balancing work-life balance whilst prioritizing your fitness? Because chances are, if you're listening to this podcast, you're someone who does prioritize their fitness and someone who does want to actually make progress from the time they put in the gym. So these are my kind of top tips for doing that. I've come up with 10 tips. Some I believe in more than others, but some just need to be there so that we can cover for all clientele, because remember, not everyone's an automotive robot. Life happens and you need to be able to kind of bounce through that, okay? So the first one is you just need to establish clear priorities, okay? So to define your top priorities, that can be with career, family life, your personal life, and also with your gym, okay? So once you know your clear priorities and what kind of are the foundations of those aspects of your life, you can understand which things are more important to you and which are less important to you. Chances are, if you have a family, they will be top priority. Chances are, if you really love your job, they'll be second priority. Then we start to come into your own personal decision-making around fitness. So fitness is a number three in the list. It's third priority. What you need to do is go into your fitness journey understanding that relationship with your progress. If you were a full-time bodybuilder, your life is full-time bodybuilding. So therefore, that is your number one priority. So therefore, they will probably get more better results than you because that is their full-time job. They do not have to get up for their sick child. They do not have to take their children to a parents' evening instead of going to the gym that they'd planned, X, Y, Z. So you've got to understand your priorities, because what that does is it helps you manage expectations. I always say this, managing expectations is good. It doesn't mean that you're fucking copping out of doing anything. Oh, I've set myself a really fucking realistic expectation of doing 3,000 steps today. No, get a grip of yourself. You're going to do 10,000. Nonetheless, I've lost my head. So establish those clear priorities and make sure that you know where you sit in your own kind of list. And that would be the first thing I would do when it came to kind of understanding how to manage work-life balance. The second one, an obvious one, and it's something that I see people get wrong all the time, is just effective time management. So utilize time management techniques. So obviously you're going to set priorities, create schedules, use tools for productivity. Again, productivity is a bit of a myth, and maximize efficiency in both work and personal life. Okay, so this is key. One that I always do with people is like, how much you spend, unless your job is on your phone, like, how much time are you spending on your phone? If you're spending 2 hours on TikTok, okay, like an hour, like, fine, do what you want, but you can't turn around and say you didn't have time to go to the gym when you have an hour on TikTok, X, Y, Z. Likewise, if you're sleeping until 8 and you start work at 9, you could probably just get up and go to the gym. Like, it's low-hanging fruit. So effective time management. And again, this ties into your clear list of priorities. Like, if your priority is getting in shape, you getting up an hour earlier wouldn't really be a problem. However, if you don't care that much and you're pretty content and you're actually just faking it to yourself that you don't actually want to make progress and you don't want to actually change your physique, which is fine. fine. If you are very content, brilliant, crack on, that's great. Do you know what I mean? Stay doing fitness just to stay healthy, stay happy, and just stay kind of in a great spot. But if you actually want to progress things and kind of have to change where you're at, normally it means doing something different, which will mean you have to manipulate your time management and obviously utilize it so that you can get the most out of the time that you have available. For most people, this means waking up earlier. Normally, when you go to a gym in the morning, you see people who are prioritizing their fitness before they go to work. Not because they are full-time bodybuilders, they just know, but at the end of the day, they'll be dead, they'll be tired, and they've got things to do in the evening. Most people that go to the gym in the morning have children, have long jobs that they stay until too late, X, Y, Z. And that's what I've seen from time spent in gyms. The next one, and point number three, is to schedule workouts as non-negotiables. And this is something I talk about a fair amount. Like, non-negotiables should be built onto your day. Honestly, I think there should be like four non-negotiables in your days, okay? So your training, if you're going to do it, your nutritional intake, and your activity and your recovery, okay? Those four pinnacles hold up your day and they hold up your fitness progress, okay? So schedule in training as non-negotiables. If you're super busy, and this links to time management, 3 sessions a week resistance-based is more than enough to grow muscle. I've got one guy who put on 10 kilograms, not all of it muscle, some of it body fat, but he's in the best shape of his life, and he trained 3 times a week with me in person. That was 3 one-hour sessions, so 3 hours a week, absolutely sent it, high intensity, low volume. We pushed him to the absolute limits, albeit he did tell me to just absolutely kill him, which I did, and we gave him so much food, he just blew up. But nonetheless, like, it can be done, so schedule non-negotiables, and I would always plan this time in advance. So look at your calendar like you would, like with your job. Like, do I have space for a meeting? Yes. Do I have space for a workout? Yes. There is bound to be 3 hours in a week that you can get to the gym. Of course, add 20 minutes either side if you've got to travel to the gym. But again, don't use traveling to the gym as an excuse not to do things. You just need to be more efficient with your time. Likewise, you can get dumbbells at home if you're really struggling for time. Explore. So next one. Sorry, I got a bit of snot. The next one is to explore time-efficient workouts, okay? So this is like, it's a tricky one, because ultimately, in an ideal world, so if you're a full-time bodybuilder, you would rest as much as you needed to recover in between your sets so that you can perform the best each set. Of course, not everyone can sit around for 3 minutes in between sets. I acknowledge that. So I would say, like, minimum a minute's rest. Of course, you must understand that will have a knock-on effect on your performance. So your performance and your progressive overload might not go up as much because you've increased the intensity by reducing those rest periods. And again, it's like you've got to pick your poison, okay, or pick your progress, because what's the alternative? You don't go to the gym because you only have an hour. Oh, I can't fit it in an hour, so I'm just not going to go. No, 1 hour is better than nothing. 40 minutes is better than nothing. 30 minutes is better than nothing. So get in there, get it done, and I'm guaranteed that will then breed into you making progress and making more kind of effective use of your time. Like I said, lots of my clients do get 1 hour workouts, which is more than enough to really kind of progress through your overload and create that stimulus to grow muscle. Next one, if you have a family, is to incorporate family into fitness. So an easy one is, like, if you have children, like, go out for walks with them. Like, it's an easy way to get your kind of steps. And of course, if they're super young, like, they're not going to be able to do that. But family bike rides, home workouts together, and integrating kind of fitness into their lifestyle, as well as nutrition. Like, you can always teach good habits around food, as long as you have good habits around food, in such a meal prepping and recipes and cooking. This can all be incorporated into fitness and family time. So it doesn't have to be like, oh, daddy's having asparagus. It'd be like, right, the kids can have asparagus, they can have butter on theirs. Because dad's chosen to have a little bit of a diet and he's just restricting calories a little bit, then you can pull the butter out of yours and you can still cook them on the same hob. You can still cook them together. That sounds horrible, sorry. That was right down the microphone. And then what you can do is you can just spend time with them, because then it's not that contradiction of, right, I'm fitnessing and I'm family timing. It's I'm doing both together. The next one, and an obvious one, is always to set realistic fitness goals. So just relate that to your current life circumstances. What can you achieve given the situation you're in, the time restraints that you have, and just the energy that you have available? And what this does is just means that you don't overstress yourself trying to out-achieve what's realistic for your life. And this is something I see all the time. People come to me and they're like, right, I want to be like Greg Plitt. if you know it. Well, Steve Cook, let's say C-Bum. They want to be a C-Bum. I'm like, you've been training for 3 minutes. It's never going to happen. And I'm very confident in telling people what's realistic. And a lot of time, people have got to slow down. Like, the best physiques that you're looking at on Instagram have been doing it for 10 to 20 years. Most of them are probably on steroids as well, so let's face it. So, number seven then. So, establish boundaries at work. So, this is a tricky one because I'm shit at this. Like, mine's not a little bit different, so I should probably take my own advice, but I think the main thing is that you can clearly communicate your boundaries of work to prevent burnout. So there need to be parameters. So if you're doing a 9-to-5, that's okay because you do have that. But if you're self-employed, those lines become often blurred. So you need to set realistic expectations. So normally, like, I don't necessarily do much client like communicating over the weekend except for sending out onboarding information. So if I've got new clients signing up, I will then send out their programs and their videos on the weekend. I don't necessarily reply to messages on the weekend. That is my work-life balance. I don't stay on my phone too late. I normally cut off at around 8:30 to reply to messages, but sometimes it needs to be later just because of how busy I am at the moment. And what you need to do then is like set realistic expectations around your work, okay? Because if it's seeping into your personal time, then you're going to be struggling to get that time to go to the gym and actually focus on yourself, okay? The next one is to like prioritize yourself, okay? Like, remember, like, you're waking up, if you're employed, to go and work 8 hours for someone else. When is the time when you're working on yourself? And this could be called self-care, be called whatever you bloody want it to be, but just recognize that it's important for you and your mental state and your physical well-being to just look after yourself, whether that's a walk outside, whether that's a walk and a coffee with a friend, whether that's just sitting on the sofa sometimes, getting enough sleep, mindfulness, taking short breaks throughout the day. All of this can just balance you out so that you don't feel too burnt out. Because again, if you're trying to make progress alongside a full-time job, you're adding more stress to the situation. You're adding another thing you need to juggle, okay? So you need to be able to establish those boundaries so that you can have bandwidth to be able to manipulate and understand that relationship with your fitness. Next one, so food's gonna be huge. And I think like meal prep, and I've done episodes on meal prep, like meal prep's so important when you're trying to juggle work-life balance and family life balance. Like, just prep your meals, it just streamlines your nutrition. It might not be the most lovely and lavish meals, but it will just mean you stay on track. It removes all decision making around it, and it ensures you have nutrition meals ready to go when the time comes. Like, right, kids have got to go to football, right, I know I've made a wrap, I know I've made XYZ that I can just eat in the car driving them there. Because again, you are not the number one priority now, and neither is your fitness, to be fair, as we know, because you've put it in a priority list at the start. So we just need to be making sure that your food is nailed. And the easiest thing you can do, batch cook, meal prep. It doesn't have to be that they meal prep. It can be that you make meals for them that are nice. Yours are potentially more boring. But again, it just makes it easier for you to streamline that nutrition side of things. The last one is something that I've developed over time for myself, is like, just become more flexible with your fitness. Like, it doesn't have to be rigid. Do you know what I mean? Like, I normally say to my clients, like, right, try and get to the gym this many times a week. It can be any days throughout the week. Of course, there's more optimal ways of doing it and there's less optimal ways of doing it. But again, if you get those sessions done across the week, I'm a happy coach. Again, for different people, this will be different expectations. If you're a bodybuilder, I'd expect you to be doing the sessions that I planned in the order that I planned them, because you've got no excuse. If you've got 3 kids and you've got a busy job where you're traveling up the motorway, then we'll cut you a little bit of slack. And what this does is it creates consistency. Can't get to the gym, you can do a home workout and I'll provide you home workouts, XYZ. Things like that are really good to navigate the complexities of work, family and personal life while prioritizing your own fitness, okay? Because that's key. I don't want anyone listening to this podcast to ever think they don't have any agency in changing how they feel and how they look. Like, you literally have all the agency you need, and remember, no one is gonna fucking do it for you. I cannot reiterate that enough. Like, I've been in shit situations where I fucking hated it, like low mood, everything. Like, I'd probably say I've been rock bottom, but at the end of the day, you've got to fucking just pick yourself up and go for it. And again, using work and family life as an excuse outside extreme situations is just a cop out, in my opinion. It's easy for me to say, though. This is my positive, this is my like confirmation bias. It's easy for me to say, because although I'm busy with work, I do not have children alongside that. So props and credit to anyone who manages to do that. And remember, if you have any questions about fitness coaching, give me a shout. Some of my photo shoot applications are going live now, so give me a message to secure your place. Peace.